Time to take a look now at our state's food heritage and diversity. There's a book out called Hungry for Wisconsin, A Tasty Guide for Travelers, and Mary Bergen's the author. She writes the Roads Travel column. It appears in 11 daily newspapers, I believe, across Wisconsin. And her latest book, Hungry for Wisconsin, is published by Itchy Cat Press. She's a member of the Midwest Travel Writers Association and the Society of American Travel Writers. She's also the author of Sidetracked in Wisconsin, A Guide for Thoughtful Travelers. And we've had her on the show before to talk about her books. And I'm really pleased to have her back today to talk about this Hungry for Wisconsin book. And Mary, welcome back.
Thank you, Larry. It's good to be here.
Nice to have you back. And as we move along through the book today, you may have some questions or comments or maybe a suggestion or two of your own as we talk about these restaurants and places around the state. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org. And Mary, well, let's this book. Talk a little bit about how this book got started, because I even get a mention in the front of your book.
Larry, you get more than a mention as far as it goes with me, because in large part, the idea for this book, the seed was planted the first time I was on your show. Hmm. And that's because one of your listeners called to ask about good places to eat in Wisconsin that were in rural areas.
Mm-hmm.
And, I kind of stumbled around with that one. We had some ideas, but
yeah.
I thought, I can do better than that. And once I really started looking, well, here we have a book. It's not all about restaurants, but still,
no.
You know, some of these smaller towns with their great chefs and, I like breaking stereotypes. I like presenting as much of an eclectic mix as I can to show that Wisconsin has more depth of character.
Mm-hmm.
And quality and diversity than the average person may think.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And one of the things, just to get it out of the way and before I forget about it, you have some lovely photographs in the book, too.
Oh, thanks. Thanks very much. I've been trying to move myself along as a photographer. But, you know, my photographs are one thing. I also had the opportunity to dip into the photo archives of the Capital Times, and so some of the staff photographers'
mm-hmm.
works are represented also.
Yeah, it's there's some wonderful photography here and here. But explain the book. Let's lay the book out for us and and tell us how it's organized and what we've got in it.
Well, the book is organized in geographic sections, just for the sake of giving it some logical organization.
Yeah.
The mix truly is eclectic. You'll find fine
yeah.
dining. You'll find diners, little burger boxes that have been around for many decades. A business incubator in Algoma that allows people who want to produce food products to have a commercial kitchen to do that, as opposed to making that investment on their own and then marketing help to sell their products in a group atmosphere versus just on their own. I talk about the company in River Falls that makes the chocolate chip cookie dough for Midwest Airlines.
Those are good cookies,
those
too.
Those are really good cookies, yeah. It's really good that they haven't, forfeited the cookies for the sake of saving a few bucks. So many airlines are making so many cuts. But anyway, so this is, I think that what everybody has in common, you know, these are products, people, places, events of integrity. That's
yeah.
how I frame it, because I think that, it's not all. There are certainly some people who deal with a slow food movement, A lot of people want to patronize local egg producers mm-hmm. and what they produce, but it's not all just that, and there are exceptions to that. These are people who have been doing what they're doing in a lot of cases for a long time and doing their work quietly, more for their neighbor than for a lot of fanfare.
And doing it very well.
I think so, yes. Yeah. I think so.
Well, you start the book in Northwest Wisconsin and with Wild Rice Heritage is one, you know, and that, I think, is considered to be our oldest agricultural, our country's oldest agricultural crop, if I'm not mistaken, wild
rice. Right.
And we meet Brian Wiggins and Lisa Ash, who operated Bear Clan Wild Rice.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start with that, but you've got, in addition to talking about them, you've got their phone number and contact and that sort of thing.
Right. And talking about wild rice, not just as a product in that case, but a part of Native American heritage, and talking a bit about how the harvest is not simply a chore, but a sacred act, and mm-hmm. and the difference between wild rice, as Native Americans define it, and paddy rice, which they consider something to be of lesser value, more commercially grown, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. It's been another poor year for the wild rice crop in
yeah.
Wisconsin, according to the DNR.
I don't think there was any rice harvested last year. Fall.
Right, uh-huh. Well, that's what the Wiggins had said for them. I think the crop overall was very small last year, too, though. So.
But you include a recipe in there, too, which I'm going to mm-hmm. try, the wild rice dessert topping.
Yeah, just something a little
cool.
different. Uh-huh. We sprinkle recipes here and there. We realize, when I say we, I'm speaking of Itchy Cat Press as well as myself, we realize that there are other great books out there that concentrate solely on recipes and restaurants and signature dishes, that type of thing. So we didn't want to dwell on that too much, but yet, fun little element to sprinkle in here and there.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things that caught my attention was the Wall Street Journal, I think it was 2005, mm-hmm. came out with the best pie in America, and you write about it. It can be found in Maquonigo,
right.
Wisconsin. We got the best pie at the Elegant Farmer?
That's right, the Elegant Farmer. And it's a proudly run business that gets the distinction for its pie because of the technique of baking them in brown paper bags. And so that makes it a little bit different. I like the Elegant Farmer also because it's just a neat rural marketplace that has many other items, not just bakery, but a great deli. And it's in a farm-like setting, so this is apple-picking time, pumpkin-picking time. Mm-hmm. These are good reasons to go now. And the unusual thing about the Elegant Farmer is that you can drive there, and that's fine, but it's fun, especially for a family, to go to East Troy, where you have the electric trolley, and mm-hmm. you know, take this little ride. I think it's 10 miles round trip, and the halfway point is the Elegant Farmer. Everybody gets off at that stop and buys a little something, samples the food, and you make the trip back.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And well, although that's in a rural setting and, you know, you think about a small operation, then when you get to the Elegant Farmer and its pies, mm-hmm. we're talking a lot of pies every year at the Elegant Farmer.
Right.
It's like 250,000 pies.
There are a tremendous number. You're right.
I'm
and
trying
so
to
word has gotten around about the pies. And we're not that far from the Milwaukee area either in that case. So even though I've described a more rural setting, it's within quick, easy access of Milwaukee.
Yeah. And a lot of other places as well. Mary Bergen, our guest, author of Hungry for Wisconsin, A Tasty Guide for Travelers. If you want to join in, maybe you've got a question or a comment or a suggestion about a place you like, give us a call. She's probably got it in the book. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. When you visit the Ten Chimneys estate at Genesee Depot, you'll find out that Alfred Lunt was a graduate of Le Cordon Bleu.
Right, and I think, you know,
Paris
a lot of
cooking
people
school.
Might just think of him as being a notable actor. So this is another element to his personality that is explained quite well during a visit to Ten Chimneys. And there's also a cookbook that the Ten Chimneys Foundation came out with a year or two ago that features his recipes. He'd squirrel away recipes all over the place, from what I understand. And so this is a compilation, nicely illustrated with photos of the area, shows him and his wife entertaining, you know, relaxing. This is where this was their summer estate, their summer playground. A lot of
Lynn Fontaine.
Yeah, right. And this was a place where a lot of their actor friends came to visit. So it was a very elegant hideaway. And he cooked. He loved to cook for his guests.
Bob in Oshkosh, we go to you now. Hi, Bob.
Hi there.
Thanks for calling.
I have a place for you to compare pies.
Ooh, good. Let's talk pies.
How about the Norske Nook in Osseo, Wisconsin?
Yeah.
I think that's got to be at the top or near top of a lot of people's list. I think it's a great choice. I mentioned that in passing in the book, I spend a little more time with the Northwoods Pub in Eau Claire because you can get the best of two worlds. You can get Norske Nook pie and also the microbrewed beer. The two don't necessarily go that well together, one right after the other, but, you know, you can put a little something else between there and have a very good meal.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob. Well, I got to agree with the Norske Nook has wonderful pies.
Mm-hmm.
These just mountainous high. The banana cream is one of my favorites.
Oh,
the thing is so heavy you can hardly carry it out of the store when you buy one of those pies.
For me, it's the butterscotch pie, just because the flavor is so rich and it's not a real, you know, sky high pie like you've just mentioned, but it's good and rich. And there was a time when we would, how many pie slices would you get in a tin? You could, you know, get a pie assortment in a tin if you were really feeling like you wanted to be greedy about it. You couldn't decide. And then you'd pay for the tin, and each time you could come back and
Bring
the tin back or get it refilled. You know, don't be too quick about bringing it back. But
Mary, oh, my goodness me. Mary Bergen, our guest today, as we talk with her, and we've got Lisa and Debbie online. I hope you guys can stay online here. We'll be back with Mary in just a couple of minutes here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Visiting today with Mary Bergen of Madison, author of many books, including the one we're talking about today, Hungry for Wisconsin, A Tasty Guide for Travelers. Really happy to have her along today. I'll tell you what, across the state, you're going to find a lot of really hidden treasures, sometimes not so hidden, but some real treasures in dining and in other areas as well. She zeroes in on the food a bit here, but you're going to enjoy taking a look at the book and actually having it, throw it in the car and keep it with you for when you travel around. You may have a question about whether a particular place is in the book, or you just may have a question in general, and we hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And we're going to go right to Lisa in Oconomowoc. Lisa, thank you for waiting. Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to mention the most amazing farm market that I've seen is Borzinski's Farm Market in Racine. They have a fabulous deli and pies there as well, great pies, but they also have a lot of really cool things for kids to do. There's a corn maze and, you know, picking pumpkins and hay rides and all that sort of thing. And they have live music there on occasion with some really great musicians. So just wanted to mention that as a really unique farm market.
Borzinski's, and just probably outside of Racine.
Yeah, it's Highway 20, just off the freeway, off 94.
All right.
Thanks for mentioning that one, Lisa.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate that very much. You know, lots of places, you're never going to get them all in a book. If you had them all in the book, it'd weigh 100 pounds probably.
It sure would. And when we put this together, it was with the intent that we would pick a few of what we thought were the most distinctive or the best, and mm-hmm. it's more of a discriminating look, not an all-encompassing guide.
Sure.
I always love hearing what people have to say because new things are coming up all the time, too.
Sally in Lancaster's next. Sally, hi.
Hi. I have a suggestion for a new place. You just mentioned you like to hear about the new places.
You bet.
It's the Potosi Brewing Company.
Oh.
In Potosi, Wisconsin.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And they have their beer museum. Actually, I featured them in my first book, Sidetracked in Wisconsin. It's a great place. When Sidetracked was written, the museum was not finished yet, but it is open, as you know, as of this year. And so things are moving ahead nicely for the people in Potosi.
So they've got some food and some beer there.
Yes, there's a fabulous restaurant and beer garden, and then the museum, and you can tour the restored brewery, and it's just a wonderful, it's just beautiful the way they've redone the brewery.
Did they go back, at least one of their beers, did they go back to the original good old Potosi?
Yes, they have. That's one of the ones that's available, along with, there's five different microbrews that they always have available, and then they have some different ones. Seasonal ones, too.
I think that's really a nice part of the state, too, the southwest corner of Wisconsin. It's pretty. It's not far from the Mississippi River and
yeah,
lots of good things.
A cool place to go. Thanks, Sally, for reminding us about that.
Yeah, but if you go, get a reservation because they're usually quite busy.
Pretty busy.
Interesting.
Thanks,
yeah.
Sal.
Okay.
Yeah, appreciate the call. All right, Bruce in Eau Claire, we're on to you now. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Larry. Actually, I'm approaching Friendship right now. I'm out on business today, and I was just wondering if your guest has any suggestions as to where to get lunch in Friendship.
All right. What about Friendship?
I tell you, I'm going to have to say that I do not know of anything in particular in Friendship. Maybe other people will have something.
Yeah, stay listening, Bruce, because, you know, I have relatives in Friendship. My goodness, I should know. But, you know, when I go been to Friendship, we always eat at home because we always eat at a relative's home.
No, I'll go, you bet.
But listen, stay listening. If anybody has a suggestion for a place to dine in Friendship, and Bruce is hungry and he's on his way there, give us a call.
And I have my pen poised, so, you know, you can always teach me something here, too.
1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. So Friendship's one place. But we'll, if you have some questions about any other area, we'd certainly welcome your calls. And let's talk a little bit about rural restaurants.
Okay.
You've got some ideas, or in the book, you have some, I think, great suggestions about some of the restaurants that are good restaurants, but located out in kind of rural areas away from it all a little bit.
Right. And in some cases, a lot of cases, you'd classify these places as fine dining. And Again, an attempt to break stereotypes, where in the past you'd think of small-town dining in Wisconsin as being
only
deep-fried anything,
yeah,
and fish fries. And, you know, this is good, too, but it's one-dimensional when it doesn't need to be in places like Downsville, which is just a little south of Menominee. There's a wonderful restaurant called The Creamery. And it is in an old dairy creamery.
I love the place.
Good. Then you know of that. You know exactly what I'm talking of. Along the Mississippi in Pepin, we have the Harbor View Inn. That's what's depicted on the front of my book.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Hold on just a second, because we've got some help for Bruce here.
Oh, okay. Good.
We can go back to that. But Lisa at Hillsborough's online. Lisa, what have you got for friendship?
Well, if you like Mexican, there's Nino's Tacos right on the main drag, and also a brand new deli just opened up there also right next door to his place.
So right next door to the Mexican place.
Yes.
That sounds great.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks very much for calling. Well, there you got your deli or you got your Mexican food right there in downtown Friendship.
Door to door.
Door to door. Okay, well, while we're at it, let's go to Katie. Katie in Milwaukee, hi to you.
Hi there.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you for having me.
Sure.
Well, I wanted to mention, I haven't seen the book, but of course I'll get it, but we go up north to Eagle River from Milwaukee and traditionally stop at the Dixie Diner in Antigo.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And the Garden of Eden is their slogan. And it's all homemade, pies, desserts, and they have specialties of the day. For instance, Thursdays is the pasties, and then there's the meatloaf and mashed potatoes, and it's just good home cooking at a little diner in Antigo. Are you familiar with it?
Yep, been there.
Been there. Well, then I need to say no more.
No, it's a great restaurant. Thanks, Katie. Yeah, appreciate it. And Liz in Delavan has another friendship comment here on a restaurant. Liz, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm talking about Carlson's Rustic Ridge over there by Friendship. There's a view from the outside of the restaurant of Castle Lake. It's a good place to eat. And it's near Friendship. It might be in Friendship. I'm not sure, but it's near there. And then I want to put in 2 cents for Lake Geneva and pies at Popeyes. They used to have cherry pies that were out of this world, and I think they just still have apple pies, but the Lake Geneva area is a great area for restaurants, and I just have to had to mention Popeyes.
That's a good one.
I love it.
Yeah, and the Rustic Ridge, Carlson's Rustic Ridge, in just outside Friendship, and you get a view of Castle Rock Lake. My uncle and aunt owned a restaurant bar on Castle Rock Lake for many a year, and I have many, many fond memories.
That's a part of it, too. You know, the food is one element, and then the great memories that you carry into a building is just as significant in some cases.
Jules in Sugar Camp, on to you next. Hi, Jules.
Hi there. I wanted to mention the fantastic riverboat cruise on the Wisconsin River out of Rhinelander, Wisconsin. It's about a two-hour cruise, and they offer a fine dining, family-style dinner with live music.
That sounds terrific. What is the food like? Is it served like buffet style?
Well, you get a couple of choices. You can have, like, prime rib, or you can have chicken, and they've got, like, fresh steamed green beans and buns and salads and dessert and coffee, and they've got a full bar on there. And like I said, live music, too.
That sounds great.
That sounds wonderful.
The book talks about the Julia Bell Swain in the La Crosse area, but we don't talk about this type of thing in Rhinelander. So thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah,
you ought to check it out.
I've been on the Julia Bell Swain, but I have not been on this one in Rhinelander, and we get up there. So we will. Thanks, Jules. Appreciate it. Another caller in the Friendship area says, for a good lunch, take yourself right to the bowling alley in Friendship.
Oh, I love that.
And I'm trying to remember, my goodness, the name of the bowling alley in Door County.
Well, Sister Bay Bowl.
Sister Bay Bowl. Bay Bowl, yeah. Yeah, a good friend of mine, Mark Lundy, enjoys the Sister Bay Bowl, and the Friday night fish fry is great there, too.
Yeah, good place.
Good place. Jerry at Oshkosh, Your turn. Hi, Jerry.
Hello. I just want to tell you that the Craning Grand Central House in Keel, Wisconsin, has some of the finest food that we have had.
Tell me the name of it again, please. The
Craning Grand Central House.
Oh.
K-R-O-E-N-N-I-N-G, I believe.
Oh, Craning. Okay.
Huh.
Craning Grand Central...
Grand House. Central House.
House,
it's
okay.
It's an old stagecoach, refurbished stagecoach house, and they're just... Their food is excellent.
Is it like a supper club? Is it like... how would you describe it? You know, we have all these words we can toss around these days. Bistro, supper
quaint.
Club. It's quaint.
Quaint is the only way to describe it. It's leisurely dining, excellent service.
Just a dinner place or lunch, too?
Lunch and dinner.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
I'm jotting that down.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate the call very much. And let's see here. We are going next to Carol in Fond du Lac. Let's go to Carol. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I have a favorite restaurant in Fond du Lac. It's called Fusion, and it's right on Main Street in Fond du Lac. And it's in an old theater lobby.
I've been there. The food is wonderful.
Oh, it's terrific. I mm-hmm. just love it. And each day they will have something different, and they serve both lunch and dinner.
The setting is unusual and good, as well as the food.
Well, it was my suggestion.
Thank you. Thanks, Carol. Appreciate it very much. And that's in Fond du Lac. Fusion in Fond du Lac. Teresa in Viroqua, we're on to you. Hi, Teresa.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
We have this great restaurant here in Viroqua. It's called the Dripless Cafe. And I don't know if you're familiar with it, but they have a constantly rotating menu. They have a chalkboard that gives you the offerings for the day. But they use a lot of seasonal produce. And so, you know, if raspberries are in season, you're going to get a wonderful raspberry pie. And if it's squash, we're going to have squash pies. And they really just, it's a small place. They do a lot of, they're just excellent chefs. They do ethnic stuff, so they've got a real small little stage, but they'll have different groups come in. So on St. Patty's Day, they've got Irish stew, and on every weekend, it seems like every Saturday night, they've got something going on. So they've got different kinds of music and ethnic food to match. So they might have French night or Chinese, or Indian food, or, you know, so for a small town, because Viroqua's a pretty small little town
as far
as they go, and we really are just so blessed to have the Driftless Cafe here because it gives us such a taste of the world.
Oh, and do they serve wines, or?
They do, uh-huh, they have beer and wine, too, and they have rotating exhibits of art in the cafe, so the things on the walls, you know, are constantly changing, and it's just such a rich cultural experience all in this one little cafe here in town. So
I think Viroqua is a wonderful community all on its own, and so this sounds like an excellent fit for it.
Yeah, it really is. And Kay and John, the owners, they're just, you know, she runs the local community theater, too, so they do a lot of improv nights and comedy and this and that, and it's just always something really interesting and culturally fulfilling. So,
sounds wonderful. I wonder if they have a website. I wonder.
You know, I don't know if they do. It's the Driftless Cafe, DRIFTLESS, because this is a Driftless area.
Yeah,
and
I'll have to look.
I don't know. I know they've won several awards though in the state for their food. It's that good, and it's reasonably priced. And they make a fresh, you know, sourdough bread you can get every day, and it's. What I like is that you're never going to know what you're going to get when you go in there.
Not predictable.
You know? Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, they have the basics. They have quiche, and they have pizza and paninis and things like that, but there's also just the seasonal stuff that's coming and going. I particularly love all the desserts.
I can understand that, and I just went online here and found a review on the Driftless Cafe, a very good review. And let me see. I want to find out if they've... See if there's a website here. Yep, there is one. Yep, they have
good.
One.
Good, good.
The Driftless Cafe in Viroqua, Wisconsin. So there we have it. Thanks a lot.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it, Therese. Peg in Lac des Flambeaux. Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much for your show.
Sure, thanks
getting hungry listening to you.
Yeah, no, so am I.
I was wondering if Mary knew of any good dining or good food in the Niagara, Wisconsin area.
Niagara.
I know. I'm trying to give you something that's near it. It's northern Wisconsin, as far north, very far north. So I didn't know if anybody there had a website that could help you find the area or not.
Around by Iron Mountain is what it is.
Yeah, I think so. It is exactly Norway, Iron Mountain, Kingsford.
Well, you know, Florence isn't all that far from Niagara, and there's a place there called Maxell's, M-A-X-S-E-L-L-S, and I was there for dinner this summer, so it's not in the book. I just discovered it, since the publication, or since my work was done on it, and was pleasantly surprised, because Florence is... It's a very pleasant community, but my expectations were not high. We got there quite late at night, close to 9 o'clock, and it was a weekday, and we wondered whether any place would be
open.
And Maxell's was. It's right on Fisher Lake, and it's I'd classify it as gourmet fare, reasonably priced. White linen, and on a lake, on a sweet little lake that's not overdeveloped, but very nice. So that would be one idea. And then, Pembine isn't that far away to the south.
Mm-hmm. And I see that 141. Mm-hmm.
Right, and the Four Seasons Resort.
Okay.
Is near Pembine. It is. It's not in Pembine. It's near Pembine, which means it's in a very rural, wooded area. And it has a interesting history because it's an elaborate resort in a place where you would not expect it to be. It includes a restaurant, a little bistro, like seven kinds of sangria, I think, is one of their specialties, pastas. The Chicago, former owners from the Chicago area were convicted of extortion. They were funneling all this money into the resort. Now there are new owners and things have settled down. There's a golf course.
Okay.
Now we're getting off the subject of food, but another, it's on a little island, Miscano Island.
Okay.
You have to take
and you said Four Seasons Resort.
Four Seasons Resort.
Right?
You have to take a one lane railway bridge to get onto the island. You take another little bridge, you can walk it, and you're in Michigan.
Oh.
So you can, walk back and forth between Wisconsin and Michigan as many times as you'd like, and get a chuckle out of that, and play golf. They have a little golf course that I guess is pretty good.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Peg.
Yeah, thanks for the question.
Frank and Ripon, your turn. Hi, Frank.
Well, hi. A lot of times folks do not correlate fine dining with rural communities. And in Ripon, Wisconsin, is a great new restaurant about 3 weeks old called America.
America.
Yeah, it's very new. So I think it would be understandable if you never heard about it. It'd be great for you to check it out. Ripon being the birthplace of the Republican Party, it sort of follows on that theme and great old pictures of past presidents, old furniture, great food. It's just a wonderful place, and it sort of jumps out at you because it's fine dining for everyone. But when you go into a small town, a downtown of three blocks, and there's such a gem, it's just a wonderful thing. So I just wanted to add that.
It sounds terrific, and I'm just curious. Do you know if by chance the person who opened it used to run Mimi's in Princeton? Because I know that he opened a market in Ripon within the last year?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think that's the owner, but it's just a great place. If you ever around, Fond du Lac, Ripon, it'll be great for you to add that to your great deep sort of repertoire of restaurants you've touched.
I love the idea. Thanks for it.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call as well. And boy, here we are about out of time. And I know we have a lot of callers online who'd like to ask you some more questions or have some suggestions. It's too bad, Mary. You've got a few places to see. And I tell you what, people who buy your book or get a copy of your book have got a lot of places to check out right here in Wisconsin.
Right. There are a lot of lesser-known places in the book. With the listeners who have something to say, but we're out of time, I'm wondering if they'd be interested in sending me an email.
Sure, why not?
Mary, M-A-R-Y, at roadstraveled.com, R-O-A-D-S-T-R-A-V-E-L-E-D. That's the name of my travel column. Mm-hmm. And so the website, roadstraveled.com or marybergen.com, also will get you to the email route. And maybe I can do a column at some time about, reader ideas that have come out since my book came out. Things are ever-changing, and, this is one other great reason to be in Wisconsin, because we...
Absolutely.
We brainstorm and we...
Come up with good ideas.
Come up with good things.
Mary Bergen is author of Hungry for Wisconsin. Send her an email with your suggestion. And thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.